You've been listening to hip hop music?
I can't get down with rappers because they come on with such bravado and self-confidence that they're missing out on a large segment of the population like myself, the insecure and depressed. You know, rappers come out, they're like, I'm gonna put a cap in your ass. But if I were a rapper, I would rap for the insecure and depressed. Now, I can't rap, but if I could, it would be like, yo, I'm gonna put a cap in your ass, but not tonight. Why? Because tonight I have to nap, that's why. Why do I have to nap? I'll tell you why. Because I recently switched antidepressant medications. And I have to wait. There's a spike in anxiety when you switch antidepressant medications.
Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Okay.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 90.
Woo!
In what is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series. I'm your host, Aaron Roden.
I'm so not a raider.
And this, of course, is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear holes. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much for joining us this week. We have got a great, great program planned for you today. It's going to be a little bit shorter than normal. But that's because we didn't have too much time with our guest, the comedian. A lot of people know him as the Bitter Buddha. Mr. Eddie Pepitone himself is going to be joining us shortly. I had the pleasure of going down to Laugh Hole there at Chop Suey and sitting down with Eddie for about a half an hour or so and picking his brain. We talk a lot about depression, anxiety, some real stuff. Some real stuff. Shit got real. There I go again, pulling the swears out in the beginning of the show. Anyway, it's going to be fantastic. Fantastic. You're going to love it. You're absolutely going to love it. We've been doing really well in the iTunes charts. Thank you so much for downloading the show and leaving us your star ratings and everything like that. Still enjoying week number two. In the new and noteworthy section. How about them apples? That's amazing stuff. Yeah, we're super excited about that. A couple things coming up in the week ahead. Let's see, Friday coming up, Emerald City Comic Con is beginning here in Seattle. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to be roaming around the convention center. The Washington State Convention Center, rather. God dang it, man. I am, it's getting late. It's getting late tonight. I'm late with getting the show up. It's been a beautiful day, so I kind of didn't get around to it. It's like the sun decided to shine on us here in Seattle today, and it was beautiful. It was like we had never seen it before. Ever, and we will never see it again because we're just soaking it up, man. Everybody in the city was just soaking it up, and traffic was so bad because everybody's trying to get to the park, their favorite park, or beachfront, or, you know, whatever they're doing, you know. So anyway, yeah, so this is going up a little bit late. Come to the Emerald City Comic Con. It's going to be fantastic. It's at the Washington State Convention Center there in downtown Seattle. There's going to be a bunch of great stuff going on. Let's see, Smodcast, Kevin Smith, his podcast is going to be doing a live podcast there. I know that TBTL is going to be doing a live podcast on Friday. Also, I'm going to be there, let's see, Friday night at the Hard Rock Cafe, March 30th, for Crackle Fest. I will be hosting Crackle Fest with Kirby Crackle, Adam Warrock, and Marion Call. So, yeah, come get your tickets to that. It's going to be amazing. It's $8 advance and $10 at the door. It is only 21 plus, but it's going to be great. Doors open at 9 p.m. Also at, Emerald City Comic Con, there's going to be just, you know, a treasure trove of nerdy celebrities, like people from Battlestar Galactica, right? That's amazing, right? General Adama will be there. Yeah, that's right, that guy. I can't, his name is totally on the tip of my tongue. I can't, whatever, Who cares? Who cares? He's going to be there. Leah Thompson from Back to the Future. Come on. Enough said. You'll be there, right? So if you see me walking around, say hi. Love to meet you. And come to Cracklefest, because it's going to be my first hosting gig, and I'm a little bit nervous that I'm going to be hosting this thing for like five people. Actually, that's not true. I'm nervous that there's going to be a lot of people there that aren't going to know who I am. So that'll just be weird. Hey, I'm Aaron. Welcome to Cracklefest. Everybody will just be like, who is this guy? Does he even belong here? And I don't. But it's going to be fun. So come, hang out. Let's see. Why don't we just get right into this? Eddie Pepitone has an album available right now. It's called A Great Stillness, and it's really, really good. If you're into comedy albums, you should go onto iTunes and download it from there. Also, leave him a star rating, you know, because he enjoys that as well. And this guy, man, Eddie, if you're listening to this, you are just a gem of a person. It was so much fun to get to talk to Mr. Pepitone, and an honor, and I hope you guys enjoy this talk that we had. But before we get to that really quick, let's see. Remember to find us on iTunes and rate and, you know, and review our show, because we really do appreciate it. It helps us to continue to get great guests like Eddie Pepitone on. Also, we do have a Facebook page, so you can check that out. Just type in air-raid.net into the Facebook search bar, and Twitter, at airraidnet. Come and follow us. Those are the things that we update the most, Facebook and Twitter. So check that stuff out. Anyway, we're going to be featuring music today, let's see, by this band Hunks and His Punks, which is really super good, like everything else we do on this show. Do I say that too much? Do I say super good and maybe fantastic a little bit too much? Probably. Anyway, this song is called Always Forever. It's by the band Hunks and His Punks. And we'll be right back with this interview with Eddie Pepitone. Let's not call it an interview. Let's just call it a chat. It's a chat. It's two people just sitting down and talking. Right? That's all it is. All right, we'll be back.
How do you bring that up?
It fucks with mine, man. I'll tell you what.
What is that?
I don't know. I used to be in a band, and every time I would go up on stage, or before we would go up on stage, like I feel like I have to take a crap.
Well, that's stage anxiety.
Is it? And do you still get
that's,
that?
That's called irritable bowel stage syndrome. No. No, I used to get that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
I used to get that when I... You know, I was scared to perform and stuff. And,
right, right.
You know, I still got it. Big shows, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
You got it tonight?
I got it today. I'm all out of whack today. I'm out of whack, but I'm good. You know, it's funny.
Yeah, yeah.
Sometimes when you're out of whack, you're fine as far as being funny, maybe even funnier.
Yeah, yeah.
we'll see about that.
It makes you more neurotic, right?
I think so.
Yeah. I think I can smell what you just ate.
I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. It smells good.
Oh, God.
It's making me hungry.
Wild rice and kale something.
Yeah.
I've been eating healthy. You know, okay. I've been trying to eat healthy.
I saw that because I follow you on Twitter.
Did you see my nasty thing last night?
No.
Because I watched this. What happens? Are we recording?
Yeah, yeah.
What happens with me sometimes when I watch a documentary is that I get really powerfully like in that point of view. Like I watched Forks Over Knives last night, which is this
Forks
movie.
Over, what's that?
Forks Over Knives is a movie about vegan, about how these two scientists and it just all this research has pointed to the fact, and it's deep, deep research, that plant-based diets, plant-based,
will kill you.
will actually fucking make you healthy. And they just related cancer studies to people eat meat and dairy.
You know what I just
heard? It's absolutely like, at least this documentary makes it seem it's absolutely fucking tied together. Meat and dairy, cancer, heart disease.
When did you make the switch? Because that's where I was going with that. Because I about saw like this tweet ago, that you but did now about I'm, going vegan.
Yeah. About a year ago, but for 3 months I've been really good. I've had slips, you know, because, hey, you walk by a rib place.
especially in some towns, yeah.
Totally. No, but, you know, but I've been really, really good, and it's been interesting. It's been really interesting to commit to it.
So have you felt like a difference?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Like what?
I have felt a difference in clarity and energy. Yeah, and I would
speaking
say
towards like the tie this into your comedy.
Sure,
I'm
definitely like very fucking alert on stage. Really? But I'm such a crazy person.
You are
that
clinically,
I think I'm clinically crazy, but I'm such a crazy person that to be really clear and really in touch with everything is scary because I got off of Prozac this year. I did a lot of good things for myself. Uh-huh. But, you know, was that a good move to get off Prozac?
How are you doing off of it?
I feel better, and I feel particularly psychologically proud of the fact that I was on it for 15 years, and I'm just on this health thing lately.
I was on it for 5. And
what'd you think?
I don't know if it did much for me.
And
that was the first one that I was ever put on. And then it went from Prozac to a different one.
Prozac to just restraints. Something like,
Went from Prozac to the hospital, and from the
hospital from Prozac to being beaten over the head with a club.
Yeah, much like this one.
But it went to Wellbutrin. Yeah, I never did that.
Wellbutrin, and then from Wellbutrin to this thing called Paxil.
Yeah, I've heard of all of them.
Which was terrible.
Ooh,
that one had like some serious side effects.
Yeah, fuck all that. I feel like it's all a merry-go-round, and I feel like, though, if people need it, they need it. You know what I mean? I got put on it because I had major anxiety attacks.
Yes. Yeah, me too.
Just
me
like, whoa.
Like your heart's just racing. You can't get it to slow down. You can't calm down.
You know them.
Oh,
totally. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
And your whole body feel like it's being flooded with Boris Karloff.
And you got to take a monster shit, right?
Yeah. And, you know, just talking about travel today, I felt a little freaking anxiety on the plane. Like, I was like, sometimes I get there because
you fly coach?
Yes.
You go coach? Yeah. You're a normal person. Okay.
Totally. Yeah. And the plane hit some fucking turbulence away. Yeah. And my thought went, I'm a pretty good flyer.
Yeah, yeah.
But my thought went, wait a minute. Well, you're not supposed to get turbulence at the beginning. And that felt really weird. And a flood of anxiety hit me.
Right.
Good.
That's terrible, man. That's terrible. I got my wife and I got in some really bad turbulence. The worst I've ever been.
The marriage?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
That's an everyday thing. Coming home from... coming to Seattle from, I believe it was Phoenix.
Okay.
And there was a massive dust storm, so we sat on the tarmac for a little while.
Oof.
And then we take off, and you could see the fuselage inside the plane flex. Like you could see the people.
I don't even know what that means.
The people, you know, the cabin that you're sitting in is flexing. Like up and down. Like
you know
the people
makes,
sitting in
you
front of you.
You know what's
wild
is that they still decide
elevation.
To take off.
Right.
And I understand that, too, because everybody's like, let's go.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stay there another day.
You're anxious either way,
right?
Because you're either sitting in this fucking small space with a bunch of people that you hate, or
You're no, up in the air.
I
in
hate
a small
the flight
space
attendants the most.
A bunch of people you hate.
I walked into first class today to go to the bathroom.
You did?
Yeah.
I've never been that ballsy.
And the woman, the flight attendant, was like, "This is first class, sir." And I go, "I know. I have to go to the bathroom." She goes, "It's first class." And I go, "What is the difference?" And then I was like, "Okay, this can't escalate because on planes and shit, you got to be so cool,
right?
You
right.
know, or they'll immediately brand me, you know, Al Qaeda. He's Al Qaeda. He wants to go to the bathroom in first class."
No, see, you're bald, so you can't. You get out of that.
Was that
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
oh, okay.
I think you're fine.
Oh,
you're
I
fine,
didn't know
man.
That was profiling. Holy, I'm glad I didn't get the hair plugs.
Yeah. Well, Eddie, if you haven't guessed so far, Eddie Pepitone, welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. Thank you for joining me this evening. You're
Thank
going
you.
On here at Laugh Hole at Chop Suey here on Capitol Hill in Seattle.
Shortly, yeah.
And, yeah, really looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. I love coming to different towns. This is my second time in Seattle. I did Bumper Shoot.
Right,
a couple
right,
of years
yeah.
ago, and that was really fun.
Yeah.
Besides
yeah.
getting punched in the face by some weirdo.
No way.
I swear to God, dude.
Here in Seattle?
At
was that the year
Bumper
that somebody
Shoot.
Yeah, was that the year that somebody shot up a bunch of people at Bumper Shoot too?
Did that happen?
Yeah, it fucking happened.
Glad I
man.
Missed that season.
Yeah, right?
What the hell? I thought Bumper Shoot.
It was some crazy guy. It was some crazy guy in the middle of a crowd just pulled out a gun and started shooting people.
Really?
Yeah, I think he killed. Maybe he didn't kill anybody, but he wounded a couple people. Yeah.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Well, no. This guy just like rammed into me. Huge crowds in Bumper Shoot.
Yeah, yeah.
I had just gotten off the plane. I'm like, Seattle, man. Yeah, yeah. First time in Seattle.
Uh huh.
And this guy like shouldered me. I was on my cell phone, and I just turned around. And I said, "Watch it, motherfucker," something like that.
Yeah.
And he just came at me, and he was huge. And
was he a lumberjack?
No, he was like a tweaked out moron.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We
and
gotta
he
kind of
hit.
Sure.
He didn't. Hit me with the full fist, but he hit me in the face, and I was like, I can't believe I just got hit.
He front slapped you.
Yes,
is what he did. He
yes,
hit you like that with
yeah.
full palm.
Yeah,
yeah, pussy.
Yeah.
What an asshole.
It was a hilarious story though, because I got a lot of mileage out of it at the festival because it happened. And then what happened was that, you know, my glasses went flying. I wear glasses, and I picked them up, and then I looked at him, and I was like, do I? And this was me in my head. Do I run into this guy,
right?
And fucking go all out on this, like. Eddie, you nuts. And then I just yelled at, I'm reporting you, which was basically saying, I'm telling.
If you would have just added at the end of that, I'm telling my mom that I'm reporting you to my mother, that would have been good. That would have been good. Because maybe he would have, you know, he would have taken you seriously. Who knows?
I should have said his mother. That might have put a scare into him. I know your mother, Mr. Yeah. Tarrington, or whoever his name is. I would have guessed his name. That would have been fun.
It was probably something like Jones.
Yeah.
It seems like a guy with the last name Jones would probably just hit somebody for bumping into him on an accident.
But then at Bumper Shoot, so it was right on my mind, and I performed that night or whatever, mm-hmm. and I was just like yelling at the crowds going, because my thing is to yell, and I was like, oh, you gourmet coffee motherfuckers. Oh, you're only tending me. All you do is hit people here. What is this bullshit, you know?
Yeah.
You eat natural foods and gourmet coffee. It's all a ruse.
Were you a vegan at this point?
No.
No. See, now you're much more calm. You wouldn't have gone
Perhaps.
That route.
Perhaps. Yeah, maybe.
Maybe you'd bump into the guy
maybe
and
I
say, hey, look,
like,
man.
It was nasty to what
let
he
me
did.
Buy
I have
drink.
A temper. I have a big temper
yeah,
with
still?
Shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Well. Still, a couple of pieces of kale aren't going to...
They don't clean you out that much.
Imagine that. Yeah. Like you eat kale for a week and you're immediately like, you know what? Let's pull out of Iraq.
Turns any Republican liberal. Mm. Yeah. Instantly. Yeah. So do you pull a lot of your comedy from real life scenarios? I'm guessing that you do.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. 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 I like to. I mean, like lately, I mean, I just, you know, I think when you mature as a comedian, you're basically having the courage to put your life on stage because I think.
Right.
I think.
You think people connect with that a lot more?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think so. I think they connect with honesty and, you know, truth and stuff. And, you know, because a lot of comics just are conceptual,
mm-hmm.
you know, like, oh, I'm going to think of a funny thing, you
right,
know.
Right.
And,
well, that's the difference between a comedian like yourself. Sorry to interject here, but that's the difference between a comedian like yourself, who I would say is kind of a comics comic or an indie comedian,
mm-hmm.
As opposed to like the blue collar comedy tour with Jeff Foxworthy or something like that. You know?
Oh yeah.
You know? I mean, do you see that difference too? Like, yeah, even being in the business.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, I wasn't interested in those guys, yeah. So I never really watched them. But like Larry the Cable Guy, mm-hmm. you know, who I've seen a little of.
Yeah,
you know, that's a little act about, you know, a little catchphrase and
right,
you know, just a little act.
I'll bet you that guy doesn't even have an accent.
Yeah, right. I mean, yeah, probably.
He's probably from L.A.
Probably.
Born and raised in L.A.
Yeah, but it isn't like really putting out stuff. Because to me, I was talking about this with a friend of mine who's not a comedian in New York, you know, and a mm-hmm. lifelong friend. And I was like, you know, being a comedian, like in the true cosmic sense, is like, I think the role of the comedian, the archetype, you know, is someone who points out how insane life is. And it lets people laugh at it.
Right.
Our insanity. We are, I really believe this, we are all fucking crazy.
We just got done talking about how many pills we've taken to make us less crazy. Yeah,
but society.
Yeah,
it's look at the society.
Well, everybody's
look
on
at the
Prozac,
world.
Eddie.
Not even that. Just the war. Like, just like it's accepted that people kill and rape, and it just accepted.
Right.
I mean, on a wide scale, or that there's mass hunger, or like in this country, because I'm really into the Occupy movements, in this country, oh, it's fine that 50% of all the wealth in the country goes to the top 0.01%. I mean, people are pissed, but nobody, it's like, oh, that's the way it is. You know, it's like,
right,
no,
well,
it's insane.
Yeah,
that's
yeah,
insane.
Well, I think some people choose not to look at it, right?
Of course,
it's like,
they
know,
can't
their
because.
Their life is cushy right now. They, you know, they have the
well,
2.5
okay,
kids, the dog and the cat and everything
yeah,
like that.
For people whose lives are cushy,
it's
yeah.
It's the Matrix, man.
What?
It's the Matrix. It's the Matrix.
The Matrix?
Yeah. We're living in a Keanu Reeves movie.
Yeah, I really never saw The Matrix. I don't like him. You know, it's so funny. I was talking to someone earlier, and it was about that I didn't grow up liking comic books. I was a big sports guy. I'm like,
really?
My thing is very aggressive. Like, I aggressively root for the – I'm a New York guy.
Yeah.
New York – I love hockey, the New York Rangers, the New York Giants in football, and the Yankees in baseball. And I'm really – and I don't, like, look at a lot of comic books. So I'm a sports nerd, I guess.
Yeah.
I just bring that up in relation to The Matrix. Like, I should know what the hell The Matrix is. And I've seen some of it.
Well, you're
it
picking,
looked good.
You're picking and choosing what you like out of pop culture is what you're doing.
Yeah. I feel like I miss out on, or not miss out, but a lot of comedy fans love all the Comic-Con stuff, and I don't relate to it.
You know what you need to
whatsoever.
You know what you need to do? Here's what you need to do is you need to just go to a Comic-Con.
Mm-hmm.
Just once. Mm. Go on
is
a,
that true?
On
I should go.
Saturday.
San Diego, yeah.
And you will see the freakiest shit you've ever seen before and people that are really, really good at making costumes. That is
I've always hated Halloween.
Oh, really? Okay,
don't go.
Don't go
no,
to
no,
a Comic-Con.
No, but yeah. I just find it a bizarre thing, and I shouldn't judge it because I think I kind of do the same thing with sports. Like, I get so into identifying.
Do you
with,
get into stats and everything like that?
I'm not
like,
that like I'm not
that
like
into
that.
It?
I'm not like a stat guy, but I want. Here's my insanity.
Yeah.
And I've always been like this since I'm a kid. I want my team to win very badly.
Yeah.
And I've matured to the point where if my team loses a real big game, I'll be like, okay, fuck them, you know,
and
I move on. Whereas a kid, I would like bash things. I was really upset.
And would you get pissed off too when your team lost?
Well, as a kid, I was. Yeah. My father used to go, "You get the fuck out of the house. You're out of your mind." I remember when the Rangers, they lost the seventh game of a Stanley Cup playoff, and I just had, and it was the days, they weren't even on TV then, they were on radio, and I just took a hammer to the transistor radio, and my dad caught me doing
that. Your dad's radio?
Yeah, probably, I wasn't buying things. He picked me up literally and threw me out of the house for a couple hours.
Oh my God.
He's like,
you sound
dude.
Like we're living parallel lives here at different times, different points in time. Let's take a quick musical break here, and when we come back, we're going to talk more with comedian Eddie Pepitone about why he's so angry. Get into that. All right, we'll be right back.
Do you ever get the feeling? Do you want to hold me? Well, do it now, because I want everyone to see. touch you and squeeze you, make you mine. I wanna hold you till the end of time. The lover's lane, I wanna go, to lover's lane. I wanna go, to lover's lane. I wanna go, to lover's lane. Oh. And when he left, I was doing fine. I wish I would have kissed him one last time. And what happened next, no one would have ever known. My boy was killed, and now he's gone. And I could never go back. No, I'll never get to see him ever again. But I won't forget the time that we got to spend there.
Welcome back. We are joined here by Eddie Pepitone, comedian Eddie Pepitone. And you may know him from massive appearances on WTF with Marc Maron and also his own podcast called The Long Shot with who else?
Sean Conroy, Jamie Flom,
okay,
and Amber Kenny.
Other people. I only thought it was two other people.
Yeah, it's three other people.
Okay.
It's me and Sean have been comedy partners for a long time in New York and then in L.A., and then Jamie and Amber got into the mix, and it's like a weird dysfunctional family that's become pretty funny.
Are these all people that you've known for a while? And
yeah, a little bit. Amber I didn't know at all.
Oh, okay.
Sean knew Amber, so he thought Amber would be very good juxtaposition to our cynicism.
Yeah, good.
Yeah.
So you have basically both sides of the coin on
this
show.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
That kind of thing, yeah.
Totally. So when we left for that musical break, we were kind of talking about how you are a huge sports fan, and you busted up this transistor radio after, who was it? Your hockey
Rangers
team?
Lost.
The Rangers lost.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. In a playoff.
You poor kid.
Yeah, but no, but I have to say, I am finally like going, okay, let me, you know, these are games, you like, okay. It you know what I realized? Because the Giants, my football team, the Giants, just won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was really exciting.
How happy were you about
I was really happy. It was really exciting. But what I always realized, and I talk about this on stage too, is that about an hour or two after the game, my life does not change.
Right. Then you just start thinking about shit again and get depressed.
Or just like, you know, I remember doing a joke about after the Yankees won the World Series, I called up my bank and I said, how much money do I have in my account? And they were like $13. And I was like, check again. The Yankees just won the World Series. Like somehow they're connected.
Right, right.
You know?
Obama just got elected. You should have at least 2,000 in there.
I was very excited when he got elected. Now I'm not that. I'm like, oh, great. Great.
What else could go wrong?
You know?
God damn it. Well, you were saying earlier you've always been kind of this angry guy, and that shows. You know, you bring that into your act, right?
Yeah.
It's got to be a little bit inflated on stage.
Oh, totally,
though, right?
Totally, yeah.
Because you seem very calm right here. I think it's. I mean, it could be being a vegan for 2 years now, but
a year at the
most. A year. Okay.
But man, it's not a complete persona because it's definitely a big part.
Yeah.
My rage, you know, I use my rage to be funny.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I think, here's what I think about rage and anger. It's hilarious because.
When you're not standing in front of it.
Yes. No, but it's hilarious to be rageful and angry because you never get your way.
Mm-hmm.
Rageful and angry people, you know, you may think you get your way.
Yeah,
because you were angry, you got someone to do something, or you manipulated them, but you're still left with yourself.
Right, right.
You know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
never really solve anything
yeah.
by being a rageful and angry person. You know what I mean? Yeah. I've really realized that.
Well, what happens to me is when I fly off the handle about something stupid, you know, it's always something
It is always something stupid.
You know?
It is always something stupid.
You end up calming down finally, or when you finally calm down, you end up thinking that it's the dumbest thing ever, and you're so goddamn embarrassed that you walk back into your house or back out into the living room with your fucking tail between your legs.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, that's tough.
I gotta get over that, man.
Well, so
it sounds like
but the best
you've
way
found
is
way.
Like the best way. Nah, not really. I mean, no? I still get angry at little things.
Right, right. Yeah.
You know, like I live with my girlfriend, and last night it was like we're gonna watch a movie. So I said, okay, we're gonna watch the movie. She goes, okay, start it, and I start it, and then she doesn't come and lay next to me, and she's doing stuff, and I'm like, so first I go like this. I go, honey. Honey, you gonna come?
Are you gonna see this?
You gonna come? And
you
she's like, "Yeah, I'll be there. You keep it rolling." And I'm like, "Okay." But then at some point, when she doesn't come into the bed and watch it with me, I'm like, "What the fuck, honey?" And then she's pissed.
Because you know, if you watch like half of it, she's gonna come in there. She's gonna ask you what happened, right?
No, she doesn't do that.
Oh, she
I just
do
get
that?
Pissed.
Okay.
That you know, in my head, we were
at
gonna
least
watch.
I got a reason, man.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm like. Yeah. Two angry guys going, well, at least I had a reason. Like who's the worst person?
Yeah, yeah.
I had a reason, Baba. No, so then I get angry, and then she gets upset that I'm being controlled, and it's like,
then
I'm like, oh, fuck, I shouldn't have gotten angry.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why do I have to raise my voice? Why do I have to, you know, talk in a snappy cadence, you know what I mean? Like, what is that? Like that's
my,
and I think it's because I'm wound so fucking tight.
It went back to the anxiety thing.
Anxiety.
Yeah.
I've gotten into
full
meditation,
circle.
But meditation is very hard. Well, my nickname is the Bitter Buddha.
Right. Yeah.
Documentary's coming
out
about me.
Yeah.
I got the teaser here, and we're going to show it tonight at the show.
Nice.
Hopefully, if we can do it.
Yeah.
You know, that wound tight thing, man, not good.
No. No.
You know, why? Why be? Why be wound tight?
Here's what's going to happen. And we're gonna end up being those guys that buy a bunker at some point in the future. And
for
just,
what?
And
to have our
for
own
the
space?
Apocalypse or something like that. Haven't you seen that new show on Discovery Channel? Bunker Busters
I won't
or
watch
whatever?
It. I won't
Jesus
watch it.
Jesus Christ.
How do you like it? I do
a lot
of material
but I
on
like
the apocalypse.
Four shows. I watched four episodes of it the other day.
You did?
The whole time I was like, these fucking morons.
Yeah, totally. I'm sure they are, right?
They're called like preppers or something.
Yes,
like
preppers. Like, fucking assholes.
Damn it.
No, because to me, you know, that's a sickness. Like, oh, let me isolate from everybody.
Yeah.
Let
yeah.
me, instead of like, because the only way
well,
shit's going
to
get
solved.
Well, it goes
back to anxiety, too. Like, you're pent up. You're like, oh, what's going to happen?
And these guys, I think, are all violent.
This
like,
fucking. This,
these guys all have guns stockpiled and
well,
shit.
Well, it's like that guy that just shot the 17-year-old kid out in, where was it?
Oh.
Did you hear about that?
Was that in New York?
I don't know. I don't think it was in New York.
What
I can't
was the deal?
I can't remember
what was the
was.
Deal?
Well, this guy, this neighborhood watch guy in a gated community saw this black kid, this black 17-year-old, standing on the opposite side of the street. Was that in New York?
I think I was just watching. It just happened recently.
Yeah, and
the kid had a
can of tea and a bag of Skittles. That's it. And this guy shot this kid dead because
he thought he was a can of tea?
Yeah, yeah, like a, you know.
A soda can, an iced tea.
Yeah.
Well, that guy is a fucking lunatic.
Yeah, but that's what I'm talking about, man. That's some anxiety. Right there,
oh,
right?
Oh, big time.
And some paranoia. And some
paranoia, racism,
yeah.
all of it, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
It's a tough world to live in.
Yeah.
It really is.
It is, man.
You know, it's
a,
you know what? Nah. You know what's amazing is that it's a tough world, but it's a beautiful world. And this is the thing I've been coming to
lately,
is that the world is, it's like Buddha.
Buddha.
It's beauty and horror at equal doses.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Equal doses, like incredible beauty and gentleness and kindness and love, and then incredible horror. No, I'm serious.
Just dark, dark, dark horror.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Incomprehensible.
Right.
Horror.
Right.
Juxtaposed to like just absolutely amazing acts of kindness. And that's what the world
is. Yeah. And that's how it works,
yin
too,
and yang.
Right? Yin and yang. There you go.
Yin and yang.
You
they were a great vaudeville team in Sichuan, China for a long time before Sichuan just became a meal.
Hey, they have great shaved noodles.
I know they do.
Yeah. So let's switch gears here a little bit.
Let's talk about shaved noodles.
Let's talk about shaved noodles and this new documentary coming out about you.
Okay.
When does this thing come out?
We're hoping for a summer release. Looking for distribution for it.
Okay.
And that's the deal. And we're gonna do some screenings and stuff.
I'm very excited about it.
It's wild, huh?
You gonna take it to any of the like Sundance or any of the
We're waiting to hear right now from a couple of festivals.
Okay.
So
you have to
we'll
apply
see.
For that stuff, right?
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It's been submitted to a couple of festivals. We're waiting to hear.
Cool.
About that, but you know, for me, it's a little weird because it's like it's a story of my life. And,
right? Yeah.
That's a little intense.
That's what I wanted to ask you about too, because I mean, you've been doing comedy for a long time.
Yeah.
Right?
Well, you don't have to say it like that.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
Eddie, you've been doing comedy since the Steamboat Engine. Was it steam power, or was
you used to be a newsie?
Yeah.
How long have you been doing it?
I am 53. I started in comedy, not just stand-up. I started about, I would say, 21.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been doing it pretty regularly for how many years is that? I don't even want to know. 32.
Yeah.
32. And the last 10, very stand-up-y. Uh-huh. I've done lots of one-man shows. I like doing that.
Yeah.
You know, where I'm just a character guy.
Right,
I did a
right.
one-man show in L.A. 2 years ago. End of Days, I called it. It was about the apocalypse in Los Angeles. Like, I'm an actor still trying to get work during the apocalypse. I have some funny shit on that one. And I was in an improv company that traveled the country for a few years. I started a sketch group. So I've done all forms of comedy.
Yeah.
And I love acting in plays.
You were in it during the boom period in the 80s and then during the kind of the downfall and like
oh,
the late
you don't have to put
90s
it that
and
way.
Stuff.
But
well, I'm just saying.
No, I know.
I'm getting to a question.
I wasn't
here.
A big stand up though in the 80s.
Oh,
I
you
was
weren't.
More doing like sketch
improv
and stuff.
Yeah.
So I wasn't like one of the road guys making tons of money.
Well, was that even harder than doing stand up during that? I guess during the 80s, a lot of that stuff was really popular, and then the 90s came. And
was it harder? I don't know. I always had a good time doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Uh-huh.
Making a living has not been easy.
Right.
It's
right.
been getting good for me lately.
Yeah.
It takes a long time to, like, for me, it's everything comes slowly to me, you know?
Yeah.
I'm always amazed at young kids who, like, boom, they're, like, making money, and I'm like, whoa, how do you know, because I just didn't have
How did you get there so quick?
Yeah, I didn't have my shit together like that. For
are you
me,
jealous?
It's been
are
a
you...
very painful journey.
Yeah. Apparently.
And I think you hear that when I'm on stage. You know, that's really what it is. It's accumulated tension
right.
that comes out. It's accumulated
like
over the years, you know.
And somewhat logarithmic. It's just been getting worse and worse. But
what does that mean, logarithmic?
Logarithmic is like you... every step you go up, you times it by the number.
Oh,
Like,
I thought that was exponential.
Is that exponential?
I don't know.
Okay, never mind.
I thought you knew what you're talking about. I could easily throw you off your logarithm.
I sounded smart there for a few seconds. Yeah, until
I'm like
that
too.
Email.
I can say things that sound really good and no one challenges me.
Right.
But I'm a curious guy. I'm like, logarithmic. How do you, that sounds like I love language. Love language. I mean, I use language. So I love it.
Yeah, you're a master. You're a master of the language.
I would
say so, man. So where I was going with, like, you know, pointing out that...
the boom and the bust.
Yeah, the boom and the bust periods of comedy, and now it seems like we're in this boom again.
Is that right?
Like, I think so. Yeah.
Interesting.
I think it's a lot. I think
maybe because it's
very...
such a depressing economy and comedy's needed. Is that one thing? Or
I don't know. I was going to ask you the same question. Like, why do you why do you think this is? I'm not a comedian, so like, why do you think it's taking? You know, we're going on the uphill. Again,
I actually think that has something to do with it. That there's, you know, things are tough in the economy and the world, and that, you know, there's. More of a need for comedy. And also, you know, with stand-up, it's kind of easy to produce. It's just a microphone, and, you know, it's not a big production.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right, right. And, you know, you just mentioned, like, the younger generation that's coming up, and people are doing really well.
Some of them, yeah.
Probably due to, like, things like Facebook, Twitter, and
yeah,
and
now
that
that's
stuff,
true,
you know,
too.
Podcasts.
Yeah,
and
that's
and that
true,
thing.
Too. Yeah.
You're reaching a wider audience a lot quicker, right?
Yeah. Like Judd Apatow. I know this story. Judd Apatow saw a clip. Aubrey Plaza, who was on Parks and Rec.
Yeah, totally.
In some movie she sent.
Oh, yeah. It was,
I
like,
think
on
she,
a YouTube thing.
I think,
she,
yeah.
Right?
And now
yeah.
she's a star. I mean,
yeah.
you know.
Yeah.
That,
yeah.
Because of the internet.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. And people are doing that. Does that great... grate on you a little bit? Like, I mean, cause
well, I gotta
of,
tell you,
a lot
I,
of the older generation of comedians always talk about paying your dues, right?
Right,
and that's you know, that seems like something.
Yeah,
that,
you know, yeah, oh, yeah, it get it, yeah, it does grate on. It makes me angry, but what doesn't? But also though, you know, it's just the way it is. This is my latest mindset about things. When I'm saying it's like, it's just. The way it is, you know, and also people who achieve stardom, fame, whatever, really quickly, I don't think a lot of them have staying power because they haven't paid their dues, that kind of thing.
Right.
And
right.
it's ridiculous to resent.
They don't know how to bomb. They don't know how to, you know.
They don't know how to bomb.
Yeah, yeah.
Those poor bastards. They got to learn that. No, I know what you mean.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it's ridiculous to resent whatever happens is what I'm coming to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I love to use the internet myself. Like, I you know.
Well, you're doing this thing, Puddin'.
Yes.
Right, you have these.
I have
these
all kinds of shit going on on the internet. I have like this. I'm pretty active with my Twitter feed, just throwing jokes out. And I got Pudding Strip, and I throw jokes out on Facebook and Twitter, and I put up videos, and I do all kinds of web videos and tons of podcasts, all internet stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm right in there with you know, the young people. Excuse me, like I go into the internet and I'm like, excuse me, is there a bathroom in the internet? Yeah, I know. Well, I'm older and I need a bathroom. Yeah. I'm putting up a Pudding Strip. Do you know what that is?
Preferably a toilet with one of those big cushy seats on it.
And a magazine.
Reader's Digest. You got some Reader's Digest in there?
I just love magazines that cover guns and tits.
Who doesn't, sir? Yeah. Well, Eddie Pepitone, thank you so much, man. Let's pimp your wares here. I know we just kind of went glossed over some of it.
But, let's see.
Where can we find you on the internet? The toilet.
The toilet. Yes, eddiepepitone.com, my website. Then at Eddie Pepitone on Twitter.
Yes.
Please join my Facebook fan page, The Long Shot Podcast. Which you can find on the intranets, and Pudding Strip, which is at Pudding Strip on Twitter, and it's on YouTube.
Excellent. And that's some funny stuff.
It's crazy,
Matt, that is some funny shit.
Yeah, that's crazy, some dark.
It's done by, like, Patton Oswalt's brother or something like that,
Matt
right?
Matt Oswalt, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
it's good stuff.
Yeah.
Now, last question, I swear to God. Do you do the writing for that?
Matt does it.
Oh, okay.
Matt writes for me so well. But I like to, I have been trying to write more of them, you know. But
really?
He makes it so easy for me. I just come in. Film like 25 in one night.
Oh, really? Yeah.
And
they're only about, what, a minute long each or something like that? Yeah.
Short, a little shorter sometimes, a little longer. But we'll film once.
Crazy.
We'll film them once a month.
Really?
And so we do 25-30, and so it's pretty easy for me
because
he writes them and stuff. But I want to write. I've been writing more, and you know, some interesting things have been happening. Putting some people maybe picking us up. Maybe.
Excellent.
So
can you say who or?
Oh, I cannot.
Okay.
Because I don't know.
Gotcha. Eddie Pepitone, thank you so much, man.
Thank
you. Looking forward to seeing you tonight.
Yeah. Thanks.
All right, well, there you have it, everybody. Our little conversation with comedian Eddie Pepitone. And watch for his documentary that's coming out here pretty soon called The Bitter Buddha. It looks really, really good. And the show the other night at Laugh Hole was fantastic. A bunch of great comics that I'd never seen before up on stage, making me laugh. It was great. It was great. Making laughter come out of my hole, my laugh hole. Anyway, that was not funny. I'm just trying out new material for this upcoming Friday, the 30th, hosting Crackle Fest at the Hard Rock Cafe there in downtown Seattle. Come and join me, won't you? It's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of great music. Kirby Crackle, Marion Call, and Adam Warrock. So come and check it out. Also, come and check out Emerald City Comic Con if you have the time. It's going on all weekend, Friday through Sunday. And it's going to be a lot of fun, a lot of fun. A lot of people to see, a lot of costumes, all that good stuff. All right, everybody, remember to go to our Facebook page. Like us on Facebook. You can also find us on Twitter. Once again, Air Raid Net is our handle. And go to iTunes. We would really appreciate your patronage on the iTunes page. So even if you don't subscribe to us via iTunes, either hit that subscribe button and keep us up there in the top charts. We really appreciate it. And rate and review us. Okay, that's it, everybody. That's it. I'm done. I do this every week. I'm finished for this week. All right. We are going out today with Hunks and His Punks once again. And this song's called You Don't Like Rock and Roll. Enjoy and have a great week.